Today's episode of Locked On Red Sox is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models on the market, it's impossible for your traditional chain storefront to stock all the parts that your car might need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions about your car, and then wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer that he didn't even have in store, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry, and charging you more than you should have to pay? Chain stores often have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And it is officially September. I know, I can't believe it either. And I'm sure, like me, your Twitter timeline was full of people tweeting, I can't believe it's September, it's September 1st, etc., etc. We get it. Time is crazy. No one knows what day of the week it is anymore. And the summer flew by much too quickly. But this episode is mostly about the trade deadline yesterday, because obviously yesterday's episode was pretty much a tribute to Mitch Moreland, as I'm sure most of you expected it was going to be if you know me at all. But then we had some Twitter drama, thankfully not including myself. The Red Sox Twitter account tweeted out a photo of a finger hitting the reset button on the computer. It was supposed to be kind of a self-deprecating joke, I believe, about the fact that yesterday the luxury tax finally and mercifully reset after the Red Sox having to play poor for the last half a year or so based on their own poor financial decisions. But unsurprisingly, the tweet did not go over well, mostly because Red Sox fans are not happy with the fact that their team, which is owned by the third richest ownership group in all of pro sports, felt like it wasn't able to spend money and in the process traded away many of the players who were a beloved part of this team, including future Hall of Famer Mookie Betts and most of the pitching staff and Brock Holt and now Mitch Moreland. It has just been a rough couple months to be a Red Sox fan in this regard. And again, as always, not trying to make anyone whose team did not win four championships in the last two decades feel sorry for us. Just saying, fans are just along for the ride. So the Red Sox have this tweet. It goes up. Fans are like, seriously, you're making jokes about the fact that you made bad financial decisions and then made all of us suffer through these baseball games. It was just a bad look, and fans were unhappy. So then the Red Sox take down the tweet and tweet something to the effect of, you ever miss with a tweet? Question mark. Same. Period. And of course, people had feelings about that too, which I get it. Then, of course, they got mocked for mocking their own bad tweet. Much like the 2020 Red Sox, it was a no-win situation for them. For starters, the social media team for the Red Sox does not make financial decisions or player roster decisions for the team. So if I do tweet about them, I try to not actually tweet at them because it's not up to them if Mookie Betts gets traded. It's not up to them if Mitch Moreland gets traded. They are literally a punching bag, and it's not even their fault. So, friendly reminder, don't take out your frustrations on the Red Sox Twitter folks. It's not up to them. They are just doing their jobs. To make matters worse, Dan Shaughnessy quote tweeted their deleted tweet with the meme of the reset button and said, this is supposed to make fans rejoice. We junked this whole season, but look at our payroll flexibility, which is fair. And one of the Red Sox senior media relations folks quote tweeted Dan Shaughnessy and wrote, you're the worst, in a tweet that has since been deleted. Just kind of a shocking day for Red Sox social media. Red Sox social media is typically pretty buttoned up. It is not exactly one of the ones that gets super weird, I guess would be the word that I would use here. They don't exactly go nuts or have as much fun with the idea of social media as some of the other teams like the Marlins or the Rockies. But I wouldn't even qualify this as that. I'm just surprised by both their attempt at self-deprecation, but also kind of how tone deaf it was after subjecting both fans and the team itself to so much upheaval over the past almost year. To then poke fun of it, it's not hard to see why fans are upset. Dan Shaughnessy is not really wrong to say that the tweet is bad, because the original tweet that the Red Sox had was like, really? You're going to poke fun at this? Now, before we talk about the actual trade deadline news for the Red Sox and around the league, let's talk about food, because I am always thinking about food. After I finish recording this, I'm about to crush a plate of ravioli with vodka sauce. I am always thinking about food. I'm always eating food. And anything I'm craving, Postmates can deliver. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, drugstore delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. Now, can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Because even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Get your free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Now, let's talk about this trade deadline. According to The Athletic, 17 deals happened across Major League Baseball yesterday. 36 deals were made in the final 10 days of the month of August. I honestly expected the Red Sox to do more at the trade deadline, but at the same time, they don't exactly have a ton to offer other teams, and they want a lot in return because they are desperate. So let's break down the Red Sox moves. What already feels like 2 weeks ago, but isn't quite yet, the Red Sox traded Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree to the Phillies for Jake Pivetta and Connor Siebold. Siebold was the number 16 pitcher in the Phillies system. He can throw 95 miles an hour. And last season, he posted a 2.24 ERA in 12 games, 11 of which were starts. According to Athletic writer and author Keith Law, Siebold, quote, pitches well off his fastball, but his secondary pitches are just fringy with no swing and miss offering. He could develop something to get him to a fourth starter ceiling, but right now, he's a fifth starter slash swingman type. The Red Sox don't even really have two starters right now, so Siebold could probably make a start now if Chaim Bloom was a little bit more reckless with his pitching development, but we'll talk about Chaim Bloom's practice in terms of minor leaguers in a minute. Pivetta, on the other hand, is a major leaguer, but he is currently down at the alternate site in Pawtucket, adjusting his mechanics and getting a change of scenery after having quite a rough start to the season in Philadelphia, including posting an ERA of over 5. Though an ERA of over 5 kind of actually has him fitting in pretty well with the current Red Sox pitching staff. Then, of course, as you know from yesterday's episode and from my general heartbreak, the Red Sox traded Mitch Moreland to the Padres on Sunday in exchange for infielder Hudson Potts and outfielder Jason Rosario. This one is interesting. As much as I did not want the Red Sox to say goodbye to Mitch Moreland, this trade in particular has quite a bit of upside to it. In 107 games last year at the AA level, Hudson Potts hit .227 with a .696 OPS, 23 doubles, a triple, 16 home runs. Keith Law noted that Potts has, quote, power potential, but did also say that when AA pitchers switched to attacking him with velocity inside, especially up and in, Potts had a hard time adjusting, and that in general, even though he's been in the minors for a few years already, he isn't a player who has made real adjustments over the course of his last few seasons, which is a bit worrisome considering the whole point of the minor leagues is to develop and make adjustments so that you will be big league ready. And a guy who just isn't making those adjustments is not going to have upward mobility in the farm system. Then, of course, there's the fact that the Red Sox already have a lot of young infield talent at both the major league level and in their top prospects. It's really the only area where they actually don't need a ton of help, which makes this part of the return on the Moreland trade kind of questionable. But it's likely that during the offseason, the Red Sox will move at least one of these infield prospects because Chaim Bloom is going to have to keep making deals. And hopefully, now that the tax has reset, spending money. Because do not forget, this team is quite wealthy, like all major league teams, but the Red Sox are one of the wealthiest. The clear upside of this trade is Rosario, who is a lefty center fielder who Chaim Bloom actually thinks could be a future leadoff man for the Sox. And as we all know, they definitely need a new one. Of course, Rosario is only 20 years old and spent last season in high A, so he's definitely not going to be a big league man for a while. Definitely not if they care about actually developing him and not rushing him. In a conversation about other prospects last month, Chaim Bloom told The Athletic, quote, "In general, I think that rushing young players and especially pitchers is something that carries a lot of downside. We shouldn't take shortcuts in development if we want the best results. Even in this unique season, that's still important." As I've said on this podcast before, one of the problems with bringing up Devers and Chavis too soon was that both of them have struggled in different ways because they were rushed up to the big league level. They are both incredible players with a lot of talent, but they have also struggled in different ways based on the fact that they were pulled up because the major league level needed help, not because they were ready to be at the major league level. And that's an important distinction. But back to Jason Rosario. Last season, over 120 games, he hit .242 with a .686 OPS and had 114 strikeouts, which is not good, but he did have a very impressive 87 walks, which is some pretty strong plate discipline for a young player and something that the Red Sox could use more of at the big league level. For reference, in 2019, Mookie Betts took 97 walks, struck out 101 times in 150 games. No other player in the lineup walked more than 76 times, and that was Xander Bogaerts. I mentioned Michael Chavis a minute ago. In his rookie season last year, he struck out 140 times and only walked 31 times in 95 games. Plate discipline is definitely something that gets overlooked in this game. People want home runs, but one of the reasons we're seeing more home runs and more strikeouts than ever is because a lot of players just have no plate discipline. It's good to see that the Red Sox got someone who does. Speaking of the Padres, they also made a 9-player exchange with the Indians, which included them getting the now infamous Mike Clevinger, and a 7-player trade with the Mariners to get Austin Nola. They are definitely one of the most interesting teams to watch going into September and likely the postseason, especially now that they have Mitch Moreland, but also because Fernando Tatis Jr. is just so fun to watch. And finally, yesterday, the Red Sox traded Kevin Pillar and Josh Osich, both for players to be named later. Pillar split last season between his longtime team, the Blue Jays, and the San Francisco Giants, and was then signed as a free agent to a 1-year deal during the offseason, and ultimately became one of the top hitters on the Red Sox, as well as continuing to be a strong outfielder. But it was clear once he began hitting that he'd either be traded or extended at the deadline, and part of that decision would be based on whether or not they ended up moving JBJ or Benintendi, which they did not. Josh Osich went to the Cubs. He was Chaim Bloom's first move of his tenure with the Red Sox, being claimed off waivers from the White Sox after spending the first 4 seasons of his career with the San Francisco Giants. In 13 games with the Red Sox this season, Josh Osich posted a 5.74 ERA over 14.2 innings. To get an idea of how good that is by 2020 Red Sox standards, which are not high standards, Osich's ERA was 7th best among the entire pitching staff, right behind Colton Brewer's 5.61 and Matt Barnes' 5.4, and each of them also pitched in 11 or more games. So a pretty similar sample size for those three pitchers. To give you a little bit more of an idea of how this current pitching is going, Phillips Valdez, who just in general I have been very impressed with, but Phillips Valdez ranks first among all the pitchers on the Red Sox with a 0.86 ERA over 14 games. No other pitcher on the Red Sox staff has a better earned run average than Martin Perez, who takes second place with a 5.48 ERA. Obviously, Perez has pitched considerably more as a starter. He's pitched something like 35 innings over 7 starts, and he has been generally pretty good. But it just goes to show you this team is not working with a lot, especially now that Nathan Eovaldi is on the injured list. Ultimately, the Red Sox traded 5 players to bolster their farm system with 6 new prospects, which is exactly what Chaim Bloom was brought here to do, beef up the minors and cut payroll. None of the players acquired before yesterday's deadline were added to the Major League roster, and the only debut made this weekend was Bobby Dalbec's on Sunday, in which he hit a 2-run homer. Bloom has also been more transparent than people like Sam Kennedy and Tom Werner were a few months ago, because he actually acknowledged plainly that this current version of the Red Sox are not a competitive team, let alone a championship team. I will pause here for the enormous duh you are hearing in your head at that statement. Of course, there were a lot of rumors and strong suggestions that the Red Sox would do a lot more at the deadline and coming up to it. Rumors that they were going to move Christian Vasquez, Nathan Eovaldi, Jackie Bradley Jr., Matt Barnes, pretty much anything not named Xander Bogaerts or Rafael Devers that wasn't nailed down. But considering Nathan Eovaldi's injury history, which includes 2 Tommy Johns, and the fact that he's currently on the 10-day injured list, and the fact that he has quite a hefty contract, it was probably hard for Chaim Bloom to find a suitor who thought that taking on all that baggage was worth it, even if a healthy Nathan Eovaldi is one of the nastiest arms in the game. And it's clear that no one offered Chaim Bloom anywhere close to what he wanted for him. I guess we'll have to see how that one plays out in the future, but for right now, I'm glad that Chaim Bloom did not just hand Nathan Eovaldi off to someone for a bunch of randos. Jackie Bradley Jr. is even more surprising that he's still here, though I am grateful, because he was going to be quite a pricey rental for any team, and obviously, as the haters love to say, his bat leaves a lot to be desired. But I've been saying this for years, Jackie Bradley Jr.'s value lies in his glove, not his bat. So what you have to do to not lose your mind every time he's in a cold spell at the plate is just appreciate the offensive bursts when they happen, and the rest of the time just be grateful that he's out there patrolling the outfield, because that's where his value lies. If you hold him to some crazy, unrealistic standard offensively, you're never going to be happy with him. And unsurprisingly, Andrew Benintendi was not going anywhere, because between his current injury, which today Ron Renicki said might actually sideline him for the entire rest of the season, and his actual performance when he was healthy this season and for a lot of last season, his trade value has literally never been lower than it is right now. That sucks for both him and for the Red Sox, because he showed a lot of promise in 2016. Even in 2018, 2017 was kind of a down year for everybody. But Andrew Benintendi is supposed to be better than this, and I really think that a change of scenery would help him, because he just looks really frustrated with himself here, and that's not going to work out well for him or the team. They also gave him a 2-year extension deal of $5 million for this year and next year, and since they did that, it was going to be hard to get anything for him when he's injured and was terrible before he was injured. There was just no chance that they were going to have any kind of good return on that. So Andrew Benintendi remains with the Red Sox at least until the rest of the season is over. It was just an interesting trade deadline. It felt like a lot happened, but also nothing happened. A little bit more anticlimactic, I think, than a usual July 31st trade deadline. But this whole season has been weird in every possible way. So it's now September. As Jen McCaffrey aptly put it, the Red Sox have a lame duck month, but they are mercifully close to putting both themselves and us out of our misery and back into an off season. That doesn't mean their work is done, though. They have a lot of trial and error to figure out during this month, things that they can experiment with, players that they can experiment with to figure out what Chaim Bloom's priorities are during the offseason, including what they're going to do about Benintendi, Matt Barnes, which infield prospects do they actually want to develop who will be keepers, part of this team's future. They don't need 35 infielders. They need to figure out who they actually want and who they don't. And most importantly, in my opinion, will they be re-signing Jackie Bradley Jr.? Because you just said goodbye to Kevin Pillar, who would have been a very affordable extension for you this offseason. Jackie Bradley Jr. was getting paid $11 million this year, and even though he is not a strong bat, he does have those bright offensive streaks, and he's one of the best outfielders in baseball. So if the Red Sox aren't willing to pony up the cash, some other team definitely will, and then the Red Sox outfield is looking quite weak. I mean, currently that would leave them with Verdugo and Benintendi. This is no shot at Alex Verdugo, but we need a lot more. And also, is JD Martinez opting out this offseason? What is the deal with him? His struggles at the plate this year are factored heavily by the change in video rules this year, and that is something that the team's going to have to consider. He obviously didn't opt out last year, and now he's a year older. He had a down year, so it's unlikely that a team is going to want to offer him more than what he's getting now, but you never know. A huge financial down year for Major League Baseball isn't likely to inspire teams to spend big on guys in their mid-30s who just had a bad year at the plate and can't really play in the outfield. But you never know. So I will amend my previous statement to say Jackie Bradley Jr. and JD Martinez are the two biggest question marks going into this offseason, aside from the obvious of Chaim Bloom, please get us pitching. I beg of you. So that's all for today's trade deadline recap here on Locked On Red Sox. As always, you can follow Locked On Red Sox at @LO_RedSox. You can follow me on Twitter at @GFSTARR1. Don't forget to subscribe, download, and share with your fellow Red Sox fans. And as always, no matter what, go Red Sox.